time.
That happens to be 6 minutes past 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. Reed Hagen here as we pay tribute to Franklin Hobbs, talk with some of his friends who he worked with, play some of his favorite music, and hear some recordings of Franklin himself on the job and at work. Right now, let's get the latest on weather for the Twin Cities.
From the time from the clock and the mantle at Hobbs' house.
I have to
from the music room at Hobbs' house.
I'll tell you a quick story. I said to Franklin one day, when I was his engineer, I said, I like that little time thing that you do. And we'll do it again.
Time.
I said, where did you get that? And he said, that's off an album called, it's Esquivel and his orchestra. And it's the opening chords of their arrangement of Time on My Hands. You know, Time on My Hands, You and My Arms. I said, why did you start using that? And he said, years ago, I'd be on the radio, and I'd give the time and the temp, and I'd talk about something, and I'd give the time and the temp, and someone would call up and say, you never give the time.
Mm-hmm. So, to wake them up.
So he said, now they know I gave the time, because they heard the time check.
And the weather forecast this afternoon is going to be a great day. Actually, the forecast that Franklin was talking about back in April of 84 was a nice day, too. It's not unlike that. Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high will be somewhere around 47 degrees. Clear overnight, low perhaps around 30. And on Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. It's going to be that way right through the balance of the week through Saturday. Should be a very nice week. Currently in the Twin Cities, the barometer is 29.99 and rising. Northwest wind at about 18, 63% relative humidity. Sunny skies and 47 degrees.
And our tribute continues to Franklin Hobbs, who worked for KLBB since 1983. And one of his favorite artists, he loved Latin music, and he loved Edie Gourmet.
Edie Gourmet, did I hear that Steve and Edie are coming to town? To Carlton? It could well be. It's a possibility. Oh, this is an interesting story out of Europe. A year ago, Jannie Spies was a high school dropout. 11 months ago, she was a young bride. Today, she's a young widow. But one of the richest in Europe, her husband, a Danish businessman by the name of Simon Spies, died yesterday at 62... and left her $112 million. Ew. Well, anyway, the 20-year-old widow will assume control of the company she used to work for. But that's not going to happen before June 1st, and she plans to finish high school before taking over the presidency of some of the companies. Well, what are you going to do?
He didn't sound any different on the bite you just played than he did 20 years before. He always had that great, smooth, wonderful sound.
Yeah, did you get a chance to work with him, or were you just at the station at the same time? Or?
No, I worked with him. I worked all night with him and did the news on his segment. Usually he went on at 10:30 or 11, worked until 5 o'clock in the morning, and very frequently I did the news all night long. And then on weekends, when he used to go up to his lake cottage, or Bay Lake or somewhere.
Gull Lake.
Yes, right, that's where it was, Gull Lake. Then I would do the news from downtown, and usually he would shut down maybe 2:30, and I'd take the rest of the night for him. So he was a man who worked awfully hard, awfully long hours, and but enjoyed it a great deal. So I had quite a bit of exposure to him, and we worked together quite a bit, especially during the period when his daughter Missy was being born and my daughter Susie was born. And we used to, they must be within a week or 10 days of one another in age. And we went through that experience and discussed it quite frequently together, and it was obviously a profound experience for both of us.
I'll bet. I'll bet, absolutely. Well, Bill, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're very welcome. He was a very special man, a good friend, and he certainly will be missed.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, thank you, Reed.
Bill Carlson from WCCO, thanking thank him for coming on the show today. With me right now, Phil Jorgensen. Phil, you've been an engineer for Hobbs the last few years that he'd, about 5 years that he'd been on the station.
Yeah, I think you and I, his engineers, knew Franklin Hobbs at his absolute best. It's like you can go to Brown for a couple years, but each one of his shifts was a lesson in how to do radio.
Because
he knew what was happening. I remember Curtis Beckman said a little bit ago how demanding Franklin was, and I didn't feel that he was as demanding as he was intimidating. He was not a man that was large in stature, but that wonderful voice, and he was a perfectionist.
I'll tell you, the first time I had met him once, and he was doing mornings on KLBB.
Mm-hmm.
I'd met him once, and I got a call from the program director, Dave Malmberg, at about 2 in the morning, woke me up and said, Franklin's engineer is sick. I need you to go in and engineer for him. I had never talked to the man before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, no, I can't. And he said, no, Reed, you're the only one. You've got to. I can't get in. You've got to go in and do it. It'll be easy. He'll tell you what to do. And I argued a few more minutes, and he said, you don't have any choice. Do it. So I showed up at the station about 5 o'clock in the morning. Franklin went on it right after the 6 o'clock news. And I wait there, and it was about 5:30. He had shown up, and I introduced myself to him, and I said, I'll be your engineer today. He says, okay. And we went down to our downstairs studio, and he had everything scripted out, every album that he was going to play, what cut it was on the album. And I was so intimidated, so frightened. For those 4 hours were like lasted forever. It was the longest four-hour shift I'd ever done. And he didn't know me, and I didn't know him, so we didn't talk too much. Well, I did it the second day. And then the third day, I showed up, and I said, I'm your engineer again. And he said, where's my script of what you're going to play? And he says, I don't need to write that down for you. You just hold up an album, and I'll tell you what to play. So from then on, we did the show. He knew exactly what he wanted to play. I'd hold an album up. He'd look at it through the glass, and then he'd punch the intercom and go, side two, cut three. He knew exactly where the song was. Nine times out of ten, he knew the length of the song, too.
I had two things happen. One was good for me, and I talked about this on the air. He was talking, who is that bass trombone player? And I said, George Roberts. And suddenly he realized that maybe I knew a little bit about his music. The other thing was terrible for me because I had made a mistake. The mistake I had made was not anticipating somebody else's mistake, you know, that was in the office, and she called me and told me how much money I had cost the station. And Franklin said, that wasn't your fault. And he ran down the hall and he talked to you.
Dr. Reed
said, that wasn't his fault. So I said, hey, this guy's all right. And from then on, we had a very good relationship.
Once again, here is the voice of our good friend and colleague, Franklin Hobbs.
You like the music we play? Well, it's very often able to provoke a pleasant memory or two. Someday, I'm going to run a little contest and allow you to tell us what memories come back when you hear a particular song. Don't you associate songs with an occasion, an incident in your life? I certainly do. So we say to you, thanks for the memory. We do it musically with the help of Les Brown. Les Brown, who appears very frequently in person with the band, with Bob Hope. Just occurred to me that we're really at the crossroads of the seasons, aren't we? In sports, basketball, hockey, baseball, football, and soccer all going on at the same time. How do you divide up your sports dollars? Well, we'll take a little time here to look over the sports scores, etc. Sports brought to you by Quality Lincoln Mercury. Stanley Cup playoffs resume tonight in four cities, and of course the North Stars are going to be hosting St. Louis, game five of the best of seven. And it's two apiece in the way of games, as you well know. And we'll leave the other series up to our friends at ABC. We'll be joining them in a moment. Our Twins, unfortunately, lost, and that was kind of a brouhaha, wasn't it? California knocked off the Twins 6-3. And we're going to join ABC in a moment, but I do want to get something across to you, something that perhaps you haven't even heard. It's an awfully good word about big, big savings at quality Lincoln Mercury. Now listen very carefully. If you wanted a luxury automobile, here is your offer.
And once again, the voice of Franklin Hobbs back in 1984 on KLBB. Another one of our engineers and announcers here at KLBB, Carl Denning, calling up. You were Franklin's engineer, Carl, for...
Two and a half years.
Two and a half years?
Around there.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And I didn't know you fell asleep.
Well, Franklin's show was always so relaxing and enjoyable. I, at the time, was working as an engineer for Franklin, and I was also working at another radio station from 6 to midnight. So I was, perhaps not as rested as I would have wanted to have been, and I was sitting enjoying Franklin's show, sort of leaning back in the chair as he was talking about his music and whatnot. And the next thing I remember was Franklin sort of poking me with a stick that he had by the by his microphone there. He was trying to alert me to play the commercial that I had, had sort of nodded off while enjoying his show. And I remember quite vividly, after I played that commercial, him looking at me with a look of disgust and amazement that I could have actually fallen asleep while engineering his show. And then he went out of the studio, and I think he came and talked to you, Reed, but that's one of my fondest memories of working with Franklin, and the fact that he didn't immediately have me terminated for falling asleep on him.
He would have never done that. He's a great guy.
He was a great guy. He's probably the biggest reason that I have so much music now in my music collection that a person my age probably wouldn't have. A lot of Ray Conniff and Frank Sinatra.
I learned about Matt Monroe from Hobbs.
Indeed, and I learned about Oscar Peterson from Hobbs. I know you guys played a selection earlier from Mr. Peterson. Great, great music. A great, great gentleman, and it's certainly our loss that he's gone.
Carl, thanks so much for calling in today.
Welcome.
That's Carl Denning, announcer and engineer here at KLBB. I'll relate the story to you that Hobbs related to me one time when he was doing his show from up on his cabin at Gull Lake. He put in the long days, and they occasionally got to him because he would be on the show all night long, and then in the morning somebody would come over to the island and want to take him out fishing or boating or to a client or whatever. Well, it finally caught up with him, and he was sitting on the couch doing his show from his cabin with the microphone in his hand, and the engineer back at the studio played a song, and he fell asleep on the couch. The song ended and there was nothing there, so the engineer quickly put another song on the air and played the 2-3 songs till they were actually able to wake Franklin up. They called his cabin, and the phone woke him up. So I think he told that story on the air a couple of times. He was one of a kind. Great individual. And we are paying a tribute to Franklin Hobbs today on KLBB. In 1979, Franklin was saluted for spending 20 years on Twin Cities radio. In fact, the entire CBS network gave him tribute, as well as the mayor of the city. This is from 1979.
I'm David Jackson, CBS News, with hourly CBS News broadcast through the overnight hours on WCCO. And right now, your overnight friend Frank Hobbs is celebrating 20 years with WCCO. And I'd like to add my congratulations.
I'm Rob Armstrong, reporting on CBS News late night and early morning hourly broadcasts. Right now, I'd like to offer best wishes to your late-night friend, Franklin Hobbs, who's celebrating his 20th anniversary here at WCCO.
I'm Howard David, CBS Radio Sports. You hear me with Sports Time, Saturday and Sunday nights here on WCCO. Right now, I want to join the celebration for Franklin Hobbs, your late-night friend celebrating 20 years with WCCO. We're happy to be a part of his broadcasts each Saturday night. Best wishes to you, Franklin.
Hi, Franklin. I'm Spencer Ross with Sports Time from CBS Radio. Weeknights during your show on WCCO. I want to join all the well-wishers congratulating you on your 20th anniversary here at the station. It's quite a milestone. So from all of us at CBS Radio, and particularly those of us who were heard during your broadcast, best wishes and hopes for many more good years at WCCO.
The many announcers congratulating Franklin Hobbs for his 20th anniversary on the air at WCCO. Another colleague of Franklin's, who worked at CCO from early 60s into the mid 80s, Wally Wilbur. Wally, thanks for calling up today.
Oh, you bet. Joyce called me and asked me if I would give a holler and maybe say something. I think as a salesman, and the one thing I'd like to say about Franklin, from a salesman's perspective, when you take somebody out on a sales call on a 10-point scale, Frank was a 12. He really understood the process and got along well with his advertisers. So it was a real pleasure to bring along in a call, and everybody has varying abilities in that area, and Frank was just happened to be one of the better salespeople that I've met who could do both, do it on the air and do it in the sales format. So a wonderful guy, a real professional.
Absolute professional. He made those commercials. He made doing those commercials sound so easy.
Yeah, it really was for him. He had developed such a style that I sometimes even wondered how he'd do it. He just, but it just rolled off him, and very effective, very very effective. He sold a lot of product, a lot of automobiles, a lot of other products, a lot of restaurants, and quite frankly, made a lot of money for that station.
And himself as well.
Yes,
and
yes just, he did.
And justifiably so.
And he should have. Yeah, he really did. But I guess she said, can you tell one little funny story? And I don't know that it's funny, but Frank's life was backwards because he worked all night and then went out on calls in the daytime. And he was a very disciplined guy. I never saw Frank, having had too much to drink. But his days and nights were mixed up, and when you went on a sales call with him, he demanded that you go to two places, neither of which exist anymore. One was Charlie's, and the other one was Harry's. And he did that because they both had great Eggs Benedict. So his lunch/breakfast was always a Tanqueray martini and Eggs Benedict, which used to drive me crazy. And then he'd go back and go to bed, and then he'd get up again and go to work. And as I say, a very disciplined guy, but just interesting, and it made for kind of a funny lunch.
I'll bet it did.
But at any rate, it was nice of Joyce to call me, and the guy will be missed. It's I don't think anybody that I've ever heard has really brought such a neat niche to the late-night format as Frank did, so... as I say, he was a consummate professional, and I enjoyed working with him.
Wally, thank you for calling up today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wally Wilbur, who was a salesman at WCCO Radio, worked very closely with Franklin Hobbs from the early 60s on. Speaking of commercials, as Wally pointed out, Franklin had a way with doing a commercial. On his show, he would do his commercials live, and they would just roll off his tongue. He sold everything from... cars, to restaurants, to, in his later years, spoke highly of retirement homes and condominiums.